Hello, everybody. My name is Garrett.
My name's Jabin.
And welcome back to Cross Country Comments. Super excited to be back and continue this journey that we are on. We had a super great time a couple of days ago. We recorded with a special guest. I don't know. Should we say? Are we going to?
Yeah, let's just say it. Well, okay. We were guests on his show.
Yes. We didn't record one for our show, but we recorded one for his. And that was, you guys have seen him, Mr. Fresh Prince. He was on an episode last year. Super, super honored to be back on his podcast. Talked about a number of things, including the Nickelodeon scandal. And I'm not going to give away too much because I don't think he's posted it yet. But, But we talked about a number of things. Super grateful to be on his podcast.
And you could say we kind of did like a part two of what we talked about on our podcast. We kind of go in the same subject in that way. Just in different, complaining about the same thing, but just in a more deeper light. And obviously, you know, when you have the Prince of Fresh Air, you know, he's going to throw some jokes in and make it more fun for people. So this is more an intense one, but still has the comedy that everyone likes. So yeah, go check it out. You go support him. He's really awesome. He's awesome for reaching out to us. So
super happy about it. Go check it out when it comes up. And I mean, check out his other stuff too. He's great. But anyways, let's go ahead and get to it. We're going to be talking about a lot of trailers today.
Yes,
because a lot has dropped in the last week. There is two TV show trailers and one video game trailer that we're going to talk about.
And now we're going to go from worst to best.
Yes, because we have realized the last two episodes we went from best to worst and then ended on like this. Oh, man. Okay, well, I guess I'll see you guys later. And so
right.
We're going to change that up a little bit and go from. And when we say worst to best, we mean things that are like troubling or that are disappointing. We aren't talking about like awful things that are like this is objectively awful, which it might be. Who knows yet because it hasn't come out. But just concerns that we have. We'll say that much.
Okay, there you go. That's better.
Yes. Mr. Jabin, you know more about this first one than I do.
Yes. Now, Star Wars Acolyte.
Am I?
I gotta be honest. When I first saw the trailer, I was ecstatic. I was really excited. And then I watched some of the interviews of the showrunner, Leslie Headland, and all the stuff and inspiration that she talked about for the show. You just watched the trailer like 5 minutes ago, so yeah. Now you have the trailer fresh in your mind. First, what did you think straight off the cuff before I tell you more about Star Wars Acolyte?
So before I answer this, let me just tell everyone. This has kind of always been our personalities. I, a lot of times, take things at a lot of face value. I look a little bit into it, but I don't look at a ton. I just look at the product for what it is. Jabin does research.
And then he has me to ruin it. Yeah.
Jabin does research. And he looks into who the showrunner is, what they do, where they're from, what else they made, yada yada yada.
Yes.
And so it helps having both perspectives, I will say. But
yeah.
From seeing it just the trailer, I got a 50-50 feeling because 50% being this looks awesome because it looks like they're actually going to have lightsaber combat for the first time since freaking like episode three. Because I don't consider 6, 7, and 8 lightsaber combat. That is just swinging around large swords. So it looks like there's going to be actual combat and lightsaber dueling, which I'm excited about. But and also I'm excited to see stuff in the High Republic. I've always wanted to see media from the High Republic because I don't know a bunch about the comic books. So I was like, oh, High Republic. Yes. But, and I'm going to be careful about how I word this. It looked like from the trailer, and I get that Acolyte is...
Say, just so that you're saved, say like a generalization.
It seemed like they made the men look very weak. And it made... It almost had this feminism undertone. Because, and I mean, don't get me wrong, women empowerment, awesome, great, you know, go girls. But it felt like feminism, but a type of feminism that like
emasculates.
Like it, well, that's actually both are good. It demasculates men and I'm getting words confused. Anyway, it felt like the women in the trailer, and like I said, powerful women Jedi are awesome, but like it gave this thing of like, oh, the men are much weaker than the women, and it was like, I don't know how I feel about that. Like, you great that there's powerful women, but like there's powerful men too. What's going on? Again, I'm being very careful with how I word this. But Javen, please go ahead before I dig myself into a hole.
And then now this is where I dig a hole for the both of us. and it's not my fault. It's not our fault. Like, I just want you to be safe at first, because what I'm about to say is going to make you play deeper. Disclaimer. Ahsoka is my favorite Jedi. No cap. Her lightsabers are literally on my wall shrine of Star Wars. Her lightsabers are right there. I love her to death.
She's in my top three.
Agreed. She is one of the most well-written characters in Star Wars ever. And I think it's mostly because Dave Filoni and George actually, like, were together making the Clone Wars, the TV show. So that's what made her character so great, and why she's still great, even in her own show. So yeah, Ahsoka, that's my girl. So it has nothing to do with women empowerment. It has nothing to do with women being equal in a fake universe. It has nothing to do with me not feeling uncomfortable. It is none of that. But Garrett put on the point, was on point, and it gets way worse and deeper than that. Now, the inspiration that Leslie Headland, the showrunner, pitched to Kathleen Kennedy, which even confused Kathleen Kennedy.
That's hard to do.
Right. Was Frozen and Kill Bill.
What?
Yes, Frozen and Kill Bill. And it gets worse than that. When we think of Frozen, we think of a really good movie.
I've never been a big fan of Frozen, but like generally made, it's a generally made good movie.
Yes, I honestly love it. I think it's a fantastic musical. Literally, I think it'll go down as a Disney classic. It's that big. It's that good. I loved Frozen when it came out. Like that was a song. And I love all the characters. But the way Leslie Headland looked at it was queer. I don't know how this is how she described it. I don't know how you can go so left field with this, but I had to put it in.
It was the pause on left.
I had to. I'm sorry. It was literally sitting right in front of my face. Okay. I don't know how you go so left field with this, but here's what she saw. She was so happy that there was finally, she said she watched this as a grown woman, and as a grown queer woman, because she's lesbian, she liked the fact that it was a love story that downplayed heterosexual relationships because Prince Hans was a bad guy. That was the thing.
He was a bad dude. So she loved that
Right. But she liked the fact that the heterosexual relationship was downplayed. Even though I'm going to clap back with that. Even though literally Anna fell in love with Kristoff. But I digress.
I know.
But she related the sisterly love. She made a stretch. She related the sisterly love that Anna and Elsa had to being queer.
That's illegal.
No. And let me go back to the first thing that I said. Her inspiration was Frozen and Kill Bill. Right.
Uh-oh.
Right. It gets worse than that.
Okay. Before you continue, how does it get worse than... Okay, I'm sorry. I'm not going to censor myself here. How does it get worse than assuming homosexuality about sisterly love in a Disney movie, translating into a Star Wars movie, but it gets worse? How does that get worse?
It gets worse for Star Wars.
Oh, gosh.
Now, to recap what we just said, she basically just said, and this is literally it, like, this is not me speculating, this is me summarizing all these interviews that she did. She had a message, but she had to put Star Wars in it.
That is the
Think
most.
About that.
That's the most bullcrap phrase anyone could ever say about making a piece of media. Like,
no. She actually said this. She said in this interview. She said, "Yeah, I had a certain way that the movie that I wanted to make, but I had to think about how." Why made Star Wars, and I put elements of that in.
You cut out right in the middle. You said one more time.
Okay, she said I had this message that I wanted to come across, but I also thought about why George liked Star Wars, so I put elements of that in. So to recap, it's not even Star Wars anymore.
So now...
I mean, it's worse than that. The showrunner and some of the cast... I saw one cast member say this at a Star Wars Celebration thing. And I forgot that there was a Star Wars Celebration. That's how bad Disney Star Wars I feel is right now. Is that I don't even follow Celebration anymore. And that's supposed to be like a huge thing. That they both said, and a few other people said, there's no good or evil. That's what makes Star Wars great. Let me say that again. Star Wars isn't about good or evil, or good or bad. That's what makes Star Wars great. I'm going to say that one more time. What's so great about Star Wars is that there's no good or evil. So were we supposed to have gray Jedi this whole time?
So correct me if I'm wrong, but in...
You're not. I don't have to, but go ahead.
No, I know. But in media, like canonically... not talking about legends or anything. Canonically, I believe we've only ever had two Grey Jedi. And at least two that I would consider, and that's Qui-Gon.
And they don't classify themselves as Grey Jedi.
They are Jedi, but they also don't always hold to the code of the Jedi code, because they know how to deal out real justice. And that is Qui-Gon Jinn and Cal Kestis.
Huh.
So you have two Jedi that know how to deal out justice and how to play their part in protecting the galaxy. That's the difference. They protect the galaxy, so they're still light. But if someone messes with them or the ones, the people they love the wrong way, they can get a little aggressive. And I feel like even for a little while, Anakin was a Grey Jedi until he got manipulated. That's my opinion. But point being, the fight of Star Wars has always been light versus dark. Because if you look if you look at Sidious and you look at even Vader when in his like prime, and you look at Grievous, and you look at Dooku's a bit of a special case. We're not gonna count him. But Grievous and Sidious and I mean just about all of them, they are evil incarnate. You cannot say that's what we love about Star Wars and then talk about Palpatine, the one who manipulated the entire Galactic Civil War, like from both sides, and then
the Clone Wars.
Not Galactic Civil War. The Clone Wars from both sides manipulated the entire thing, then ran the entire Empire with an iron fist and killed people who didn't listen, and then quote-unquote, died, and then somehow Palpatine came back. Yes, I know we all don't acknowledge that, but at the same time, it's like he created clones of himself to not die so that he could continue to rule the galaxy, and he literally had an entire planet of Star Destroyers on Episode 9, and he was going to go rule the galaxy, basically like, you disagree with me, you die. That's not evil?
I guess it's not about that.
Huh. And I guess, you know, the T-Rex still walks around because everything we're saying is just fiction. So, I know that was a stupid example, but like,
there's no good or evil. That's what makes Star Wars great.
Excuse my rant that I just did. That was,
What is Acolyte about? And okay, hold on. You know what makes this even worse?
Hmm.
Is that it doesn't make the trailer interesting anymore. That person with the red lightsaber, that's not even a real Sith then.
No, that's just a confused person. For those of you just listening and not watching, Jamin's face is just like, he wants to disown Star Wars a small bit, is what I'm feeling. Oh my gosh. Let's see. I'm looking up something real quick.
I'm just okay.
So the word acolyte, I actually looked it up in reference to Star Wars.
Okay, but before you say it, I purposely did not want to search this word up because I knew they were going to find a way to like not make it fun anymore. But go ahead.
No, it's actually exactly what I thought. No, like in a good way. Like it proves them wrong.
Oh, what the, no, that makes it worse.
It says, for other users, see Acolyte, da, 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 da. Sith Acolyte was a rank within the Sith Order prior to Darth Bane's reformation. The term was used to refer to Force-sensitive apprentices who had only just started on the dark path under the tutelage of a more experienced Sith Lord to rightfully bear the mantle of Sith.
So they're just Inquisitors.
Yeah. Acolytes are just younger Inquisitors.
That's sick.
Yeah, you would think so.
Not anymore.
Yeah, you would freaking think so.
Not anymore.
Oh my gosh.
Wait. If this show is called Sith Acolyte, shouldn't we see more of, I don't know, Sith?
Yeah, no, that's what everyone was thinking when they announced the show, was like it would be centered around Sith.
I didn't even think about that. Like, but the trailer shows no one. It shows everyone in the Jedi Order. Everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Even a Force-sensitive Wookiee.
Which, side note, which,
I'm not going to lie, is awesome.
I was going to say, if they do it right, it would be awesome. But
yeah, because we've only seen that once.
And that was in Clone Wars.
So I really want to see how they use them for that. I don't want to see anything else.
Yeah, pretty much. Okay, well, I think we should move on because I think we've made our point abundantly clear where we stand on this.
I want to complain more, but you're right.
I know. I know. So
do
I.
Do you know how badly I just want to crap on this? Like this is like the feeling that I know people feel like to like protest. Like this is what it is.
I mean, here's the thing. Everyone has to understand. We are not being misogynists. We are not being, you know, oh, it all has to be men. Like we said, Ahsoka is one of our favorite characters. But we like Star Wars. Ahsoka was the heart of the Clone Wars, in my opinion. Ahsoka was the heart
Definitely.
She was the heart of Clone Wars. And in her show, that whole arc came full circle. And it was like, man, she went from like Jedi to not a Jedi, then back to a lighter Jedi. And great story. Fantastic.
Yeah.
But
that's how you write a powerful female character. And F that. That's how you write a powerful character in a whole. That's what we're looking for. We just like interesting characters, whether they're on screen or not, whether they're on screen for a long time or not, whether they're female or male or alien or not, we don't care. We just want them to be written well. We just want something interesting. We want a character that we want to connect to. We want a whole organization that we want to judge or be a part of. We want to look at this and be like, dang, this is an awesome world. Like, I want to be a part of this. Like, this is crazy.
Yeah, like, I've never... So I know people might say fake fan or whatever, but I had never watched Clone Wars up to recently.
A fake fan. A lot of Star Wars fans haven't watched all of Clone Wars, so no one should ever call you a fake fan.
But I'm on season 6. I'm almost done with season 6 right now. And the thing that I'm noticing is that every single time Palpatine shows his face on screen, I'm like, oh, you son of... And, like, I kind of just want to, like... I want him to just... I know it's a cartoon, but, like... And just drop dead. But because I hate him, because you can see how manipulative he is. You cannot say...
Especially with the fight with Maul and Savage.
Oh, my gosh. And dude was literally just like, yeah, there's only two Sith. You're not one of them anymore. And it was like... So, like, amazing show. But, like, every time he was on screen, it was like, this man, every time he, like, talks to someone and then turns away, you see this, like, smile on his face. And it's, I hate it. But I hate it for the best reasons. Because he's evil.
Uh-huh.
Anyway.
And we love Luke Skywalker to the death. Because he's so good. Literally.
He talked to a specialized trooper in Battlefront 2 campaign.
And basically
was just like, yeah, you don't have to be with them anymore. And he was like, oh, should I join the Rebels? He was like, I'm not saying that either. I'm just saying do what you think is right and good.
Luke is just him, bro. Luke is just him. Like,
yeah. But, like, he is, but that's my point, is, like, He is the embodiment of good. We're not mentioning the sequels, because that doesn't count. But Luke, as a character, is the embodiment of good. And so it's something that we just want Star Wars. We want a good and Star Wars story. And I mean, freaking, this Leslie person could have looked at Legends and gone through the Legends books and gone through the Acolyte stories and taken inspiration from there. But instead, she wants to make her own, I guess, homosexual love story mixed with killing? I don't know, but...
And that's the problem. We don't know. But that's exactly what she said was her inspiration for this. Oh, and someone asked her what her favorite Star Wars movie was.
Mm-hmm.
She said, there's no Star Wars movies. It's just Star Wars.
That's false. Anyway, we gotta move on. We'll rant more about.
And George is endorsing this.
What?
I forgot to tell you about this. Something got released. I'm sorry.
No, please.
We might have to sacrifice the middle topic, but I can't believe I forgot to tell you this. I think I'm still processing it. George Lucas, rumors are saying that it was his wife, but nonetheless, George Lucas stated that he has Bob Iger's back in terms of what they're doing with Star Wars. Everything. I know we were happy with the last episode with Bob Iger like changing things, but nothing's changing for Star Wars, so I don't believe it, in my personal opinion, anymore because of Star Wars Acolyte. This Acolyte came after Bob Iger's thing, so Bob Iger had to look at it and be like, okay. So, so I don't believe it anymore. So, but George literally said he's backing everything that they're doing and that magic isn't for amateurs. And he's a shareholder. So literally, like, how good Star Wars does, he gets paid. Just so you know. So, like, he's an actual shareholder. So the fact that Star Wars isn't doing as good right now, wouldn't you want it to be good? But yeah, George Lucas, quote unquote, what a lot of people saying, has officially killed Star Wars by saying that Star Wars is where it needs to be, basically.
We're sacrificing the middle topic. So here's the thing. When it comes to Star Wars, and I know we've talked about this before. We had a whole episode about this before our last little couple month hiatus. But you would think that you want Star Wars movies to be made by Star Wars fans. Because if you're a fan of Star Wars, you know why you became a fan, and you know what kind of stories fans like because you are one. That's why I like...
There was one thing that she said to fix that problem that I don't believe just because of her answers. Want to know what she said?
What?
Star Wars saved my life, and then that was it.
She didn't explain how.
Nope.
Okay. Very interesting.
Star Wars saved my life. And after that, she claims there's no Star Wars movies. It's just Star Wars. So I personally feel like, this is off of speculation, just because of how she's presenting herself. I don't like to assume because it makes an A out of you and me, but that's literally how you spell assume. But she's giving off, all I watched was Mandalorian and Ahsoka, or just the Disney stuff. Got a recap, basically, of what's happening in the world. Watch episode 8 and 9 and talk to Kathleen Kennedy to see how it would connect without actually being a fan. So basically, just getting a recap of what's going on. This is the second activist that directing a big Star Wars project.
Okay, there's one director for Star Wars, two, but one specific one that I'm going to mention that I love. And that's Jon Favreau. Jon Favreau is such an amazing director. And like, because Jon Favreau is a fan of all these things. Jon Favreau loves Star Wars. Jon Favreau loves Marvel. And he loves comics, at least from what I've read. But
yes.
Yeah. And so 95% of the stuff that he puts out, all the fans are like, oh, this is so good. Like, think of season one finale of Mandalorian, when Grogu stands up and the fire's coming toward him and Grogu freaking with the force. All of us were freaking out. Because we were like, oh my gosh, this baby Yoda thing knows how to use the force. And it's so simple. Like, you could have seen it coming from a mile away. But all the fans were still like, holy crap, that's awesome. And so...
That's Star Wars.
That's Star Wars. It might be predictable, but it's like, oh.
It's Star Wars.
It's Star Wars. Like, the...
They got money off of it, too.
Uh-huh. Good money with Grogu stuff. But it's like...
I got two of them right here.
Yeah. It's like these days... Recently, or either in the upcoming projects or the current projects, it's like they are trying to hire people that do one of a few things. They're either pushing an agenda, pushing a message, instead of focusing on the content, or they're trying to get directors who know how to direct regular movies to direct for fantasy worlds, which isn't a good fit. Because if you got someone, and don't get me wrong, I'm sure this would be dope in its own respect, but if you got someone like Quentin Tarantino to direct a Star Wars movie, it would probably be a pretty good movie. But if Quentin Tarantino wasn't a fan of Star Wars, he wouldn't get it, and he probably wouldn't make it a Star Wars movie, even if it was a good movie.
And here's why I jump in with you, that there's no exception. Even Deborah Chow, the one that helped write and direct Obi-Wan Kenobi, has never watched Star Wars in her life. And that's why for a lot of people it flopped in a lot of its episodes. And I kinda have to agree. I only like the episodes where I see Hayden Christensen or Vader. Like, that's literally the only episodes and I'm like, oh crap, it's going down. That's the only thing in my mind that I remember for canon, you know, in this story. Like, it's ridiculous, because even that, like, that right there should have told you. And Deborah Chow is an amazing director. Let me just tell you, she helped with The Mandalorian, which is new, which is totally fine. So if it's something new, go ahead. You know what I mean? If we're exploring something new, give us something new, but still keep the elements of Star Wars in it. And she did good with that. She just didn't good with Obi-Wan. It was too much. It's too much lore for a non-person knowing to go into, right? That's a perfect example. Now we have... I'm not even going to talk about Leslie Headland. Now we have a director directing a Rey movie who loves making men feel uncomfortable. She said that.
Yeah, I know, I couldn't believe that. It when I heard that.
Yeah, she loves to make men uncomfortable, and she's going to make men uncomfortable when making this Rey movie.
Which...
Like, she said that's her goal. She talked nothing about Star Wars, and she said that we finally have a woman... directing where the Star Wars lore should go, even though we already had Ahsoka and Rey, whether she's canon to people or not, but we literally still have Rey. Like, she's still leading the future of Star Wars right now, whether we like it or not. That's just how it is. We have Leia, who literally was a freaking general and princess of both...
technically a Jedi.
The Rebellion, right, and a Jedi... for the Rebellion and the Resistance. We had Mon Mothma, who literally half owned the freaking Rebel Alliance.
We love all of them.
And we had countless female Jedi Masters and Jedi even before Disney had it in its hands.
Mm-hmm. Like, you can look at someone like Leia Sakura, amazing Jedi. She didn't get a ton of screen time, but when she did, well-written Jedi. You have
Barriss Offee and her master, but before the 2008 Clone Wars that you're watching, the 2003 one, their little small arc was awesome. Okay, let me tell you about it real quick, 2 seconds. They go to Ilum, and this is where Barriss picks out her own crystal. There's a whole bunch of droids that are camouflaged there, and they sense that there's droids in there, and the droids desecrate that whole cave of Ilum where all the crystals are, and it's just them taking them out and whatnot. It's sick. While Padme is going to see if they're okay. So it's like, that's how you write good female characters without saying they're awesome. You just show that they're awesome. You know what I mean? Like, they ended up being bad A. And literally, oh my goodness, I can't believe I don't have her in my mind right now. But the Jedi that's red and kind of a Twi'lek but has blue and white as her Twi'lek head, I can't think of her name. But she has always been a huge, huge part of the prequels and both versions of the Clone Wars. In the original version of the Clone Wars in 2003, she was the one protecting the Chancellor in Coruscant before General Grievous grabs him. She was, and now in 2008, she's literally that person you go to as that wise, if you can't go to Yoda, you go to her.
Mm-hmm.
If you can't go to Yoda or Windu, you have to go to her. What's her name, dude? Please.
I'm so mad at myself.
I'll know it when I hear it.
You said she was a red Twi'lek?
Yeah, her face is red and she has blue and white. She might not be even a Twi'lek. She's whatever Ahsoka is.
That's
not a Twi'lek.
It is.
Yes, he's a Qui'lek.
What?
She's a Qui'lek. She's a Twi'lek, right?
Yeah, Twi'lek.
Oh, okay. I thought you said Qui'lek. I thought that was something different.
I don't even know what that is.
But she's whatever Ahsoka is.
Okay. Yeah, but
she's awesome.
I know what you're talking about, but there's a ton of amazing female characters in Star Wars, and they are many examples of how to do them well without preaching. And you just gotta stop if that's your objective, because then you're not in it for them. Then you're only in it for them.
You're not in it for Star Wars.
No, then you're in it for the money and to push your agenda. Entertainment.
The message.
Guess what? Entertainment was started with silent movies that made people laugh because it's entertaining. So if entertainment was started to be entertaining, and it's literally in the name of entertainment, you want to entertain as many people as possible. So why would you push an agenda that only a number of certain people are going to root for? Okay, let's take the example of making men uncomfortable. If you go at it with that approach, you know that 2/3 of your audience are men. Like, that's statistically for Star Wars. 2/3 of the audience is for men. It is men. So if that's your objective, entertainment is meant to entertain as many people as possible. So if you go at it with that objective of, I want to make men uncomfortable, you have then failed entertainment. Then you are doing a fictional piece of documentary, essentially. Then it's not
a... No. No, no, hold it. I love that you said that. Want to know why Kathleen Kennedy hired her?
Why?
Because she directed documentaries, activist documentaries. You're funny for that one. And I know you didn't know that.
I didn't know that. And
I know you didn't know that, and you kind of hit right on the spot.
The fact that I didn't know that, yet I could point it out, is crazy. Okay, well, yeah, no, that's something that needs to be, get fixed. Like,
but the fact that the whole thing is happening, and it's either that George Lucas just doesn't care anymore, even though there was a whole interview where he said he had to sell Disney to the, he quote unquote, he said this, this is the quote he said, to the white slavers. He called Disney the white slavers. In an interview, not in an article, you can search this up on YouTube about him selling Star Wars over to Disney. And he said, I ended up selling my children. And the interview was like, these are your children? He said, yeah, I sold my children to the white slavers.
Huh.
So we got a person like that that is literally endorsing them to keep doing what they're doing now. It's either that he just doesn't care, even though there's an interview that says that he does, or he's really declining and his wife is speaking for him. Those are the only two ways.
That's possible.
Because he's getting old. He's 80 now. He's old.
Yeah.
But
so that stuff is definitely possible. It's also possible that he was, this is unlikely, but it's possible that he was bribed or something along those lines.
Because Star Wars isn't good, he doesn't get money. He's a shareholder. He's going to lose money.
Because here's the thing. When it comes, my whole train of thought just left me. But what was I going to say? My gosh, I completely forgot what I was going to say. Anyways, yes, it's just like the worst situation possible for fans. Because like I said, I'm going to leave it off with this statement, and then let's move on. Because it's becoming less about entertainment, more about money, less for the fans, more for preachy movements that want to push an agenda. Because, I remember what I was going to say, and I'm going to leave it with this.
Yeah.
Movies, I looked this up, and I'm like 90% sure it's correct. Movies have to include some kind of inclusionary thing of LGBTQ or of transgender or anything like that, or any inclusion in order to be even considered for like awards, for Emmys, Grammys, something like that. There is a actual institution that looks at media and looks at TV shows and looks at movies, and if it doesn't include some kind of inclusion of some kind, they don't consider it for an award. I'm not 100% if that is true, but that is something I heard when I was watching, it was this interview, and then I looked it up, and both of them said the same thing. So I'm going to triple check my facts after this podcast, but that's something I saw that I was like, so the industry, we all knew the industry was pushing an agenda, but they're pushing an agenda so much that they're taking awards away from actual good directors who maybe don't want to include that stuff. So, anyway, I'll let you sink on that for a second. Anyway. You want to know how long we've been talking about this for?
An hour and 20 minutes?
Not quite. 45 minutes, but still.
No, it feels like 2 hours.
It does. To me, it feels like 20 minutes.
For me, just thinking about it, it's so depressing. Like, I'm literally looking at my wall and saying, what's wrong with it?
You know what?
What are you going to say?
I was just going to say, you know what? I'm going to, like, rewatch episode 3 after this just to get a good feeling of Star Wars back.
I'm going to play Battlefront. The original, non-Disneyfied Battlefront.
Mm-hmm.
Pandemic Studios Battlefront, not EA. Even though EA is good, it's just still has that stink of Disney on it. So I can't. I have to go to the original. So I'm about to. I don't know. I'm about to wear my Empire cap and play some Star Wars Battlefront because this is ridiculous.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, we'll move on to the last topic.
Yeah. Oh, so you know what? I'll just for the love of the middle, I'll just say the middle real quick. The Penguin trailer came out. We think it's going to be okay. We didn't see a lot of the DC stuff in it. It's going to be like a crime boss show, but again, it's just a teaser, but we really want to see more.
Yeah, that pretty much sums up. It doesn't say a lot in the trailer, but it looks all right.
Yeah.
Anyway, last thing is it's a video game that I heard rumors about. And it's a video game that I was like, that's going to be one of those projects that they start making and they're like, oh, we had to cancel it. So I was never looking forward to it because I was
But you told me about this announcement years ago when it came out and you and I were both excited.
We were both excited, but as Disney and Marvel kept going on, I was like, they're going to cancel this game. But yeah, they just came out with the trailer for it on Unreal Engine 5.
Thank goodness.
And it's 1943. What is it? 1943 Captain America. What's the official name?
Rise of Hydra. Captain America and Black Panther, Rise of Hydra.
1943. I don't think it's Captain America, Black Panther, Rise of Hydra. I think it's just...
Well, I think it's just 1943, Rise of Hydra.
Yeah, 1943, Rise of Hydra. And it's Captain America and Black Panther... and I don't even think this is T'Challa. I think this is T'Chaka.
No, I'm pretty sure it's T'Chaka.
Which is T'Chaka's father.
Oh, T'Chaka's father? Ooh.
Because it would be 1943, so T'Chaka would be just being born.
Azuri. So T'Chaka's father, in comic-wise... is Azuri. So if they do it canon-wise in that way, if they're doing T'Chaka's father, then Azuri. But if they're doing like actual 40s, like Black Panther, it was T'Chaka. It's confusing because in the original comic books, T'Chaka was first, and then T'Challa was supposed to be our modern one, like when the comic was coming out. But now, because that we have the MCU and it's trying to, you know, connect with younger people, T'Chaka is the old one and T'Challa is ours. But before T'Chaka was Azuri. So it might be either Azuri or T'Chaka.
Yeah. So either way, like, I hope they do it right canonically, obviously. But either way, the trailer just came out for it. Oh... my gosh, it has the best facial animation in any trailer or video game I've seen in my entire life. Like, there are parts of it that could convince you that it's live action.
Oh no, most definitely. And mostly because, I have to say, when you see Black Panther's face, to me, he sold it. Just because he's not wearing a helmet or a mask. Like, with Captain America, he was great. Even his movement, like walking... he felt so 40s American. It was so great. I'm here on behalf of behind the U.S. government. I was already like, okay, I'm in. Like, yes. But then when I saw Black Panther's face and his facial expressions, I was like, oh, you sold me. Like, you're really going to do facial recognition like that? Like, oh, crap. And I think that, and I think I know that actual actor too. I can't put my finger on it, but I think I know that actor too. So I have to go back and see how it is. But oh my goodness, I wish we had more. I wish it's gonna be such a good game.
Because here's the thing, because Jabin said that he thinks what they're gonna do is they're going to have like a similar play style to how the Avengers was. But I feel like they have learned, like, companies have seen the Avengers, and if it's going to be similar, it's going to be a better upgraded version of the gameplay of the Avengers. And if it's open world and it's Black Panther and Captain America, I am sure that they're going to have stealth mechanics. They're probably going to have takedowns. They're going to have mobility options for both of them. And I mean, the fact that they go at it fighting at first, and it's hilarious. So hello, one of my pins fell. I'm gonna say this as kind of, a lot of people may take this the wrong way, but I'm gonna explain it. Jabin and I have always compared ourselves to Captain America and Black Panther.
Yes.
And it's not because, because you're white, he's black. No,
that's half of it.
That's half of it. But the other half is that it's just kind of how we were both raised. Because he was raised dancing for years. And that's very agile. And he's always been very good with his movements. And he's always been very, very flexible and very, like, all over the place. And, super into, obviously very smart and everything. But he's always been... no, keep going.
Stop it.
But he's always been into, like, history and checking into, like, African history and stuff like that. And like I said, he's always been, you know, very agile and stuff like that. I used to live in California, and people used to say I was as Southern as California got.
Yeah.
And now I live in the South, and I've always been very patriotic, and I've always been one who tries to stand up for the little guy, and I've always been a very protective person. And so we've always compared ourselves to Black Panther and Captain America. Like, when the Avengers game did come out, those were our mains.
Yeah.
I played Captain America, he played Black Panther. So we heard about this game years ago, and we were like, oh my gosh, there is no way that they're making a game about our characters, essentially. Yeah. And the fact that it's set in 1943 against Hydra, it's like the prime of those two characters. And I love how in the trailer they refer to each other as, Little American Boy. And then the cat is what he calls him, or the cats here, yeah, or something like that. And I was like, the beef that they have is so funny, because me and Jabin weren't best friends immediately.
Nope.
I think you actually bagged on me for a little bit when I first met you.
Yeah, pretty sure.
Yeah. So, but regardless of me and Jabin, the fact that they have that kind of feud in 1943, but then obviously it's against Hydra, so we know they're going to team up. It has this feel to it. That's just, it's so American and yet just so, like, I I'm talking from a Captain America's point of view here, but it's so American, but also
it's so American.
It's okay, but at the same time, it's just, when I say American, I mean American in the sense of like a buddy cop show, right?
No. I know what you mean. You mean. It was just the way you said it was hilarious. No, that was hilarious.
But like, old school 90s buddy cop show is the vibes I get from their relationship. But at the same time, this is in the 1940s when Hydra is at its peak and they have to go fight against Hydra. And what I'm guessing is probably going to be the Red Skull.
Yeah,
Red Skull, probably MODOK, or not MODOK, Red Skull and gosh, what's his name? The scientist. Artem Zola. And I hope he's the regular Artem Zola in, like, the robot form.
Oh my god, yeah. I hope he's what If was supposed to be.
Yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And so, we heard about this game coming out, and if they can get the combat right, so if they can take cues from the Avengers, but, like, make it more in-depth, make it open world, make it multiplayer, hopefully.
No, not just multiplayer, multiplayer cross-play.
Yes. If they can,
I'm going to be playing on my PS5, and Garrett's going to be playing on his PC.
And if they don't make it crossplay, you're either getting a PC or I'm getting a PS5.
And I hope it's the latter.
I do want to play Spider-Man. I do want to play Spider-Man 2.
Yeah, exactly.
That's fair. That's fair.
I'm literally having fun with Spider-Man 2 and you're not.
I'm having fun with the whole Steam library and you're not. Anyway.
I digress.
Anyways. oh, gosh. So, if they can do it right, and if they can get the story on point and kind of lean into that buddy cop feel a little bit, I am so excited for what they have to come for this. Like,
I have to say, I'm not worried about the story.
Neither am I.
I think they got it. I'm just extremely scared about the gameplay and it being cross-platform. Those are the only two things that I'm scared about. Because if you have both Captain America and Black Panther, it has to be multiplayer in some kind of way. It has to be. Like, if you're coming out the gate just with two main characters already, like, it's not like what they did with Spider-Man. Each character has its own video game, then they come together. Like, that is more acceptable because you know both of their stories, so you can play as both of them. You know, it's a single-player experience. That's totally fine. But you're coming out of the gate with two major characters already? Come on. You're kind of wanting people to want to think that it's multiplayer. Mm-hmm. So, it has to be multiplayer. The combat has to be... Even though this is the 40s, it still has to be good. Like, this is in its own universe at this point. So now you can do whatever. You know what I mean? They literally just created their own universe now. So now you can do whatever you want. You can make the shield just deny the laws of physics however you want in the coolest form, and we'll be more than okay with it. And we can see Black Panther do 30 spins in the air with the mask off while cutting three people at the same time. We want that. So make it good. And please, I'm begging, please make it cross-platform. Oh my God, you don't understand how badly we want it. Because we love playing video games together, and it sucks that there's not a lot we can play because there's not a lot of stuff that's cross-platform, especially with stuff that we like. So the closest Marvel thing that we can play is literally Avengers.
And that kind of shut down already, so...
And that shut down. And, yeah, so literally we're waiting.
Yeah. And honestly, I love the fact that it does not look like it's taking hints from the MCU.
Oh, zero. And that's what makes it so awesome to me, is that it's original. It's its original universe. And I can tell because the way the suit is made, like the way Cap's suit is made, and the way Cap's suit looks more of like the animated TV show, which I love so much. So it literally looks like the animated... No. Hold on, no, let me stop. And the Black Panther suit looks so, like, it looks so original, but it still looks so crisp. But what I was about to say was, what if this was connected to one of the TV shows?
I don't know how I'd feel about that.
Instead, it's probably not true, but that'd be pretty sick.
Maybe, but I want it to be original.
I know, but if they are going to do, like, the connecting thing, I'd want it to be connected to the animated series. Either Earth's Mightiest Heroes, which I love, or the other Avengers one, which was okay.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I hope it's his original thing as well, because it looks so good on its own merit so far. Just please don't mess it up.
Yeah. Like, it's something that can be done so well, but it has to be done well. And the merger that happened between... This is something I'll mention. Maybe we'll talk about it more in depth at some point. But the merger that happened between Disney and Epic Games. You heard about that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that merger was Disney going, hey, we want to make more video games. So if they can create...
And they put $1.5 billion into this project.
And so if they can do it right, because I feel 1943 might be a step into that. I'm not 100% sure yet, but it is a Disney property.
Probably just because they're using Unreal Engine 5. Maybe that's kind of like Disney and... I think this is Disney and Epic Games in bed together right now. Now they're going to be collaborating way more. This collaboration may have, started with Rise of Hydra. And then they're like, you know what, let's go a step further. Let's go into your Fortnite, if you don't mind. And then they're going to, start, coming together.
Well, honestly, I wouldn't mind that. Because I feel like they can do a, you. It's hard to put agendas into video games. Put it that way. And so it's either a good video game or a bad video game. You can put agendas, but it's hard to.
Last of Us Part 2 didn't do as good as Last of Us. You're right.
So you can, but it's harder to put agendas into video games because you have to focus on so much more. Gameplay, cutscenes, everything like that. So if 1943 is the launch off point for a gaming universe, a gaming, MGU. Anyway.
Why is that good though?
The MGU.
The MGU.
But if they can launch this into an MGU and have different types of Marvel games, so come out with a Iron Man game with full flight mechanics and you can build your own Iron Man suit and it has an original story, and then you come out with a Black Widow game.
Did you just create a video game just now that we want?
And then you create a Black Widow and Hawkeye game where it's a stealth spy mission game with brutal mechanics, but still a little bit of superheroism, unrealness in there. Then you make a Hulk
Secrets
game.
Secrets of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yes, and then you make a Hulk game where you can just demolish part of the city. There is so much potential for an original universe here. And if they can remake an Avengers game after many years, after building all of this up, dude.
Yeah.
It could be so good.
Yeah.
We'll just have to see. So, I don't know. I'm excited. And I'm glad we're ending on a high note this time, because the last two episodes have been depressing.
Yeah, even the beginning of this one was depressing. We were silent for a second. That was crazy.
Brother, it wasn't the beginning. It was the first 45 minutes. And we're at an hour. We talked for 15 minutes about the video game.
This sucks.
Because here's the thing.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, me and Jamin talk. We talked just a second before we started this about how we're like nerdy stuff, comics, video games, the whole deal. And movies and TV shows, whatever. We want to give our thoughts on it. We want to report on it. We absolutely love giving good reports. But when there's very little that's good to report, this is a lot of what happens. And so...
Yeah. it's not our fault that it's like this. We just want to come on here and just have, just spit out what we like about everything, but we can't. Everything is kind of being tarnished. All the good stuff are old.
Yeah,
it's crazy. They're old now. When people think of their favorite new video games, it's hard for people to say. I've even heard some people say Resident Evil 4, and that's an old game. It just got remastered. It's sad that you have to go back, redo an old game just so that it can be relevant again, because none of these games are hitting it.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing for TV and movies.
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing. A lot of people, it's like, favorite piece of Star Wars media. Most of them will go Clone Wars, at least the ones that have seen it. And it's you realize, other than season 7, It's like, you realize that was made in, like, between 2008 and 2013, right? And
right.
That was...
And George's hands were all over it.
Oh, yeah. So, it is funny how a lot of, like, favorite pieces of media and favorite things that people talk about are all things from between 6 and on years ago.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Yeah. I would say the last good year, so the last year that everything was like, oh my gosh, I am so freaking excited. Like, we don't care about reviews or anything, we're going to go see this. The last year that I truly felt like that was like 2018, 2019 maybe.
I'd have to say 20, the last thing was probably 2019 for me.
Endgame?
That's right, and I wasn't looking at reviews. Yeah, I think it was Endgame, where you and I watched it together. I think that was probably the last time where I never looked at reviews. I looked at reactions for fun. I just looked at reactions for fun on YouTube, but I never actually, like, looked at reviews. That was my dad's thing. Like, I depended on my dad to be like, hey, what does IMDb say? I never went on by myself. Now, I go anywhere. I go everywhere and anywhere just to see if I find one little bad thing. And I have to, like, make my decision off of if I want to watch this piece of media that I don't know if is good or not, and take a chance or take a risk.
Yeah.
Like, it's, you can't depend on anything anymore. And it's not like, you know, back when, like, movies were actually bad because they were bad, but, like, they still had, like, some quality of being enjoyable, but it was bad.
Just like, because, like, a little charm.
It just sucked. Yeah, like, it, dare I say this, like, this is going to sound so horrible, and I don't want my father hating me, because this is his favorite team, too. It's making the remake of Fantastic Four look good. Come on.
I've never seen
come
it.
Come on. Okay. Oh, yeah, I keep telling you to watch it. Okay. It's bad, but now I think it'll be, and I hate saying this because I crapped all over this movie with my dad, but with everything that came out, it might not be so bad watching that movie anymore.
I might watch it now.
I kind of want to, like, I told you this 10 million times, but I'm going to tell you this one part that I really hated. They build the transdimensional thingy and they get drunk and go to that dimension and get their powers. An accident goes wrong and they get their powers. Okay? They get drunk and get their powers. I hated that. Now it looks kind of okay.
Because it's a twist.
I'd rather people... Yeah, I'd rather... Right. At least that's a twist. At least they got their powers through the transdimensional thingy like they always do. Like, but it, people getting drunk and getting power seems way more interesting than what Marvel is dishing out right now.
Yeah. And then, I mean, the only part that I've really seen from that movie was the end where he was like, well, we're a team, right? We need a name. And the thing goes, this is fantastic. And he goes, what was that? He goes, what? He goes, say that again. And he was like, fantastic. And he goes, it's guys, fantastic. I know what we're going to be called. And then the movie ends. And I was like, really? I haven't even seen the movie, but that scene, I was like, "Huh? You want to throw it in our face anymore?"
And I have to give movie props though, because the CGI impeccable. Oh my god, it is amazing. It's worth seeing just seeing the CGI. It is freaking amazing, and the way Reed Richards uses his powers is crazy. He literally formulates his whole body and face to look like a completely different person. And the way he unforms himself to make it look like his default form.
So now you're giving it a little bit of praise.
I have to now. Like, that movie was horrible. But And the way the Fantastic Four is going to look now.
How it's going to be like.
Did you see the pictures?
I did. I'm not completely against it.
Did you see the pictures?
No. Well, I saw it's like the drawing of like Reed standing over Sue, like smiling, and like the 60s poster, right?
But they're actually going to be in the 60s.
No. I know. And here's what I'm saying. If there's some kind of like time travel that happens, because obviously Reed's in it. So if there's like some kind of time travel that happens, that can turn out really well, because I highly doubt they would make a Fantastic Four movie in the 60s and then leave them in the 60s for them to never show up in the MCU. I doubt that would happen.
But why is Pedro Pascal Reed Richards? He's not a Reed Richards.
I feel like
he's not.
I feel like he could be. Because here's the thing.
Have the look.
You haven't seen Pedro Pascal in some things. But
I've seen him in so many things.
I know.
I've seen him in that one movie with, that's not here. No, not with Harrison Ford. With, shoot, it was hilarious. I forgot what movie that was. I saw him in that. Obviously, Mandalorian. I've even seen him in
Kingsman.
Scenes of Game of Thrones. King of Spain, thank you. He's not a...
I will say this. I feel like he could play it well, because he is a very fatherly figure, as we know, from Mandalorian. So if they have their kids, like from the comics, number one, he's going to be a great father.
What? It's too early for that. Like, I want, and I think this is unreasonable now that I think about it, but I want another rendition of the OG Fantastic Four movies. I want something like that, but in the MCU. Because in my mind, me growing up those movies were perfect. Let's find a way just to redo that with someone who actually can play a great Reed Richards. Oh, we already have one, John Krasinski. Why not give him another contract? Why not?
Yeah, no, that's a good point.
Why not? He was a perfect Reed Richards. And he was a perfect Reed Richards, and that's a version that had kids, and we never saw his kids, and I felt that he was a fatherly figure in 2 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
John Krasinski was a perfect Reed Richards. I believe that he is the smartest man in the universe. I believed it.
Yeah.
I didn't think this is Jim from The Office. I looked at him and said, yeah, that's Reed Richards. But that's him. I look at Pedro Pascal and I don't know who this fool is. He looks too happy. Reed Richards is supposed to be... Here's who Reed Richards is supposed to be. He's supposed to be a person that is so focused. At least this is supposed to be his character development. He's supposed to be a person that focuses all of his work and barely about his woman. That needs to learn actually how to fall in love with Sue. That is how his story is always supposed to go. It's like that in the comic books. It's like that in the animated show. It's like that in the movies. It's slightly like that in the new movie, but on that one he's on the run, which I kind of honestly I'm not gonna lie I kind of like. But he's supposed to be this nerd that looks at his work, and that it's about, and he looks at the universe being so big, at the multiverse being so big, and not realizing what's right in front of him. And I believed that John Krasinski can do that, but I believed in Multiverse of Madness that was already something he overcame. I felt that, you know what I mean? He understood what it was like to have a family and also to protect the multiverse at the same time. He knew how to do it, and I loved it. I want one just like that, but I want one figuring it out. That's interesting. That's character development. I don't want an already old an old dude that was already beating up people that's now having kids. I don't know this Reed Richards. I want to get to know this character. I don't know him.
You're pretty passionate about it, aren't you?
the reason why I'm so passionate is because it's my dad's favorite team. So because it was my dad's favorite team, he showed it to me constantly. They're not my favorite team, but I have all the respect for it. What comes in mind, literally the best versions of seeing that team, other than the comic books, obviously, is literally the movies, the original movies, and the freaking newer cartoon Fantastic Four show that I grew up with that has the song Don't Copyright Me. You should watch it. It's on Disney Plus now. It's so freaking good. Oh my goodness. And they have the scrolls in it. They have Kang in it. Oh, it's so good. Dude, watch it. It's just so good. That show captured that dynamic of the character so perfectly. So when I see on Instagram on Valentine's Day, for some reason, I see Pedro Pascal dancing with his woman while she's on the couch like, hey, everything's great. No. You're supposed to know. That's not who they're supposed to be. That's not how they were written.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree. It's something that
I forgot what we were talking about.
I'll finish this off by saying
Disney. You get depressing again.
I'll finish this off by saying that Disney and Marvel have forgotten how to do origin stories well. That's what we'll leave it at. But anyway, yeah, I think we went from talking about what we started talking about with Star Wars, then talking about a video game, and I don't even know. I'm going to have fun editing this episode because I'm going to see the digression of going from a video game that we're super excited about and then down this rabbit hole, down this giant rabbit hole about how we got to this.
I'm so sorry.
And then we ended and how bad Pedro Pascal is as Reed Richards.
I didn't mean to. I don't know what happened. I don't know what happened. I don't know. I just saw Fantastic Four in my face. I don't know. I am so sorry. Oh my goodness.
I'm not even mad. That was amazing.
Is the Fantastic Four like somehow going to be a part of the thumbnail now?
I kind of want it to be, yeah. I'm probably going to make it part of the thumbnail.
And I'm just, a bonus exclusive.
I'm just
a bonus exclusive Jaden complaining about Fantastic Four.
I'm just going to put them in just a little tiny corner in the top right.
You know what you should do? You should put like a comic bubble, put their picture in it over me with my eyes like this.
That's a good point. I should do that. Oh, now I'm gonna have trouble titling this episode.
No, just title it what we were gonna do it before. Just Star Wars Acolyte, Rise of Hydra, yeah. And you can do like and too much.
Dot 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 and more.
And more, yeah, and more.
Oh, and I'm not even mad about it. This has been awesome. But anyway, I think that's where we're gonna end it.
Yeah.
Alright. So anyways, thank you guys so much for watching. We really appreciate it. This is why I'm so happy we do these, man. Because it's not like we have a set schedule. We don't have a set time we have to be done. It's literally just like, this is the way we talk outside of these episodes, too.
I think this is definitely a great example of just spewing stuff out. Because I even was at a point, I don't do this, I was at a point where I was just snacking halfway through just because I was tired of, I was tired of talking about Disney Star Wars. I was literally just eating, whatever. Like, at this point. But I love that, though, because I felt comfortable enough. Like, I forgot, honestly, that we were recording, if I was being honest.
Yeah.
This was a lot. This was a lot to unpack this episode. Yeah,
I feel like there's some feelings in there we have to get out at some point.
Oh, no, definitely.
We already got most of them out, but that was just the beginning.
Yeah, there'll definitely will be spurts from both of us, you know, coming through with all these trailers and media and what they call entertainment.
Yeah.
The only thing that's not letting me down is Dune. Everyone go watch Dune 1 and 2.
I gotta watch it, I know.
Yes.
But anyways, thank you guys so much for watching or listening. You know, like we always say, we're on everything. So if you're listening to us on one thing, we're probably on another thing. YouTube, I almost said Snapchat. We're not on that. YouTube, Spotify, Pandora, Apple Music, whatever you decide to listen or view us on. share it around, you know, if you want to. Or again, we're not.
Alexa.
Huh?
Just ask Alexa, say, hey, Alexa, play Cross Country Commons. She'll do it.
You just made like 30 people's Alexas turn on.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
But anyways, thank you guys so much for watching. We'll, you know, keep this going, keep recording more episodes. And I would say in about a month and a half, maybe, expect that vlog. For Jabin's wedding, I would say I would say 2 months, because it might take me a little while to edit. But
yeah, because there'll be a lot happening. So yeah. Garrett's gonna have a lot of video, a lot of pictures. So it's gonna be a lot for him to edit. So yeah, don't expect it right away. We're definitely gonna have some episodes, probably maybe one or two before that one's ready. Yeah. So, you know, just but still stay tuned for all that cool stuff when Garrett heads down to LA.
Yeah. So I look forward to it. And that'll be coming up. So thank you guys so much for watching. And we will see you in the next episode. Bye, guys.
Don't be depressed.